Everybody, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. Andrew Colvin in for Charlie Kirk, who's on assignment at UNLV today. We have an action-packed hour. We detail everything that happened at the University of Memphis last night. It was going viral everywhere. And so we talk through it, what actually happened with the university, how they sabotaged the event in many ways, at least appears to be so. And then we have Charlie come in to give his exclusive reaction to the events that unfolded at the University of Memphis and Kyle Rittenhouse. Lots to unpack and discuss. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss it. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
This is Andrew Colvett, honored to be with you today, the executive producer of this fine show and sometimes guest host when Charlie's on assignment, which he is today at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He's going to be doing another tabling event on campus, answering the crazy questions from the lefty students. And by the way, there's a ton of support when Charlie goes out there. That's something I want to make very clear to the audience. You know, I see some people tweeting in the aftermath of last night's craziness with Kyle Rittenhouse that they somehow think that there's no support on these campuses for conservatives. That is totally not true. There is a ton of support. When Charlie goes to these campuses, I would say it's probably about 60-70% supporters, actually, and about 30% people or 40% people that disagree or want to ask questions. Some protesters, of course. It all makes for a very lively experience, to say the least. But what happened last night at the University of Memphis is an absolute disgrace that didn't have to happen, especially the way it went down. It did not have to happen. And I'm going to tell you all about it because I was in the middle of it last night dealing with press and dealing with the school and dealing with the campus chapters. It was nuts. And I would say it was unprecedented in the history of Turning Point USA, of all its campus organizing. Last night was unprecedented, what they had to deal with, what our brave students had to deal with, what the campus chapter and the field staff had to deal with, and what Kyle Rittenhouse had to deal with at the University of Memphis, which just boggles the mind on some level because it's in a red state, in a really red state in Tennessee, and yet a lot of people in the comments were saying, don't lump Memphis in with us in Tennessee. It's like its own thing. It's not part of Tennessee. Don't smear the Tennessee name with Memphis, which is incredible because it is in Tennessee. And last year, there was 398 homicides in Memphis. It's a huge number per capita. And it was a record-breaking year for Memphis. And yet, local activists, BLM activists are not worried about crime in the urban core of that community. They're worried about Kyle Rittenhouse. They're worried about Turning Point USA. So let me tell you exactly what happened. People think that we sort of engineer these things from the top of Turning Point USA, these events. That's not true. What happens is local chapters submit requests for grants to host speakers at their local chapters. They come up with all kinds of names. There are events going on all across the country at TPUSA chapters, at different schools that nobody ever hears about because they don't turn into big, chaotic scenes like what unfolded last night in Memphis. They request the speaker. We're allowed to sort of vet some, sure, but we try and give wide berth to these chapters at Turning Point USA so that they're able to feel like they have some autonomy, that they have some control. A bunch of schools have requested Kyle Rittenhouse. He came out with a book, and a couple of them have already happened, as a matter of fact. You didn't hear about them because they happened in sane places. Memphis, unfortunately, is not a sane place. At least it's full of insane people. And I'm sure there are some great people in Memphis, of course, as well. And a lot of them wanted to come out to this event. So we put out this event. promoted it, marketed it at the local level. The staff does a great job with this. And apparently 15,000 tickets were attempted to be reserved. Now, obviously, we can't put 15,000 people at these events. So there's a whole process that then ensues to make sure, A, it's not a bot. B, you're not somebody coming in bad faith, that these are actually students that get the priority, that want to hear somebody like Kyle speak. Kyle is not an employee of Turning Point USA. He doesn't work for Turning Point USA. He's somebody that our chapter requested come and speak. So the university was getting a lot of local pressure from local activists saying, you know, you need to cancel this event. It's, you know, racism, all this stuff. Newsflash. Kyle shot three white people in Kenosha. And there was no black people involved. But they so badly want to attach this to him that the BLM activists, local agitators, left wingers made it all about that. And what they ended up doing, the school ended up on the day of, and this is completely unprecedented, forcing our local chapter and our field team to change the ticketing system. Now, let me reiterate, we have a very elaborate and sophisticated ticketing system to ensure that it's good faith people that are allowed to come to the events, people that actually want to hear and engage and, yeah, debate. And if you have a difference of opinion, you get to come to the front of the line if you're doing it in good faith, not if you're trying to shout down our people, not if you're trying to stage a walkout protest. So the morning of, they forced a ticketing change. And their stated reason, they wanted to ensure that the ticketing was fair and equitable. Fair and equitable. Now, these protesting groups, these agitators, have their own group chats. Well, our savvy little students, not little, but our savvy students at Turning Point USA are in those group chats. And so early yesterday morning, when the school told them they had to put out this new ticketing system and get people to reapply for tickets. So if you had the thousands of people that had attempted to get tickets, you were no longer, those were no longer valid requests. Those were you. And if we had emailed you and told you that you were approved for your ticket, that was no longer valid either. You had to go through a new ticketing system the day of the event. Well, guess what? In those agitator left-wing group chats, they knew exactly when the link was going to go live. Somebody had tipped off the agitators to scoop up all the tickets. So they had been tipped off, and guess what? They scooped up all the tickets. And their express stated reason was to stage a walkout to disrupt the event. Never in the history of Turning Point USA campus activism and organizing has that happened. So certainly we knew it was going to be a little bit crazy. Next thing we know, the school then tells the local chapter, we're not going to stop anybody if they're shouting. Yeah, there will be police there, but they're going to be shouting and we can't do anything about it. And oh, and by the way, we know you said you had 50 seats that were reserved and you were going to put people in 50 specific seats. We can't do that anymore. You get 8. Oh, and these agitators, as soon as they came in, they actually started reserving their own seats and taping the names of the legal defense team that defended Kyle when he was acquitted. So he started taping the names of seats of his lawyers. That's how insane it got. So Kyle did his best. He showed up at an event that was totally rigged against him from the jump. And he took questions. He got shouted down, you know, but we're going to play the tape. We're going to play the tape. Cut 88. Go ahead and play cut 88. That's a mass group of people that are storming out of the Rittenhouse speech, chasing people down outside of a parking garage. It really is amazing that nobody got hurt last night. Let's go ahead and play cut 90. This is just students screaming at Kyle while trying to answer a question inside the venue last night. Cut 90.
But on August 25th, I was violently attacked by a mob of rioters. Thank you very much. Wonderful crowd you guys have here. Very professional, very respectful. Thank you.
You know what was amazing about this actually to me was that there was still that Black Lives Matter is still a thing. After they've been disgraced, after their founders have been proven to be frauds, after they've fleeced money from thousands, if not millions, of donors, that there's still people in Memphis that are wearing BLM shirts. The organization that betrayed black people, you're still wearing BLM shirts. It's a remarkable, remarkable sociological observation. You know, it takes a long time for these messages to get through.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. We're all getting the sense that we're being lied to. Well, that's because we are. Suspicious events are unfolding. Even worse, it's hard to believe what anyone has to say about it. And we all know the mainstream media has their own agenda. That's why you need to trust your gut and take action. It's time to prepare. Get started at MyPatriotSupply.com. Load up on 3-month emergency food kits packed with ready hour foods from My Patriot Supply. You will save $200 per kit. These kits provide over 2,000 calories every day. Serving over 3 million families since 2008, My Patriot Supply is equipped to help yours achieve self-reliance. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on as many kits as you need from My Patriot Supply. They ship fast and free and arrive in unmarked boxes. Order by 3 p.m. and your order will ship the same day. Save $200 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. They ship fast and free and arrive in unmarked boxes. Order by 3 p.m. today. They're a wonderful, wonderful product, so check it out right now at MyPatriotSupply.com.
So really what this comes down to, folks, and I do want to play a few more pieces of tape here, but what this comes down to is essentially a lawless, chaotic city in the midst of an otherwise really pretty well-functioning state, pretty safe state. And that, you know, honestly just makes me really sad. But all this started because the administration was pandering to petulant children. There was local politicians that were saying, you got to cancel this event. And the school said, well, we have to uphold the First Amendment. Well, that all sounds really nice in theory if you're going to allow the event to go on and not cancel it. But when you do everything you can in your power to essentially hamstring an event, to overwhelm it with protesters, to tell the protesters in advance, we're not going to do anything to stop you, and then you aid and abet the protesters, which is an open question. Did the administration leak the details of this new ticketing system to the protesters in advance? Were they the ones that did it? Are they in these group chats? Are they protesters themselves? These are serious questions that the state of Tennessee should investigate. Lawmakers should investigate what happened at University of Memphis last night, because it's unacceptable. Somebody could have got seriously hurt by empowering these agitators, by refusing to secure the situation, by refusing to remove agitators when they were disrupting events. The event was ready to go. And by the way, we had so many people in good faith that wanted to come to this event. We were begging for a larger venue, and the University of Memphis refused. They refused to do overflow rooms. They refused to do a bigger venue. They capped the event at 330 people. We could have easily packed out 2,000 people at this event, maybe 3,000. And they all would have been good faith. Yeah, sure, there would have been a couple protesters. There would have been. That's fine. That's fine. As long as you're respectful, we don't care. That's part of what this is. But I knew this event was going to get rowdy right when I saw this clip. 96. Go ahead and play it. So what that clip is, for those of you, we had to blur out a bunch of the words, obviously. They were saying, lock his AS up and then F his A up. So they transition towards the end to F is A up. And they're talking, obviously, about Kyle Rittenhouse. And then go ahead, one more clip, 97. Like, what? I don't even understand what's going on there. What happened was, that was after the event. People are running, mass hysteria, cats and dogs living together. You know, all hell's breaking loose. I have no idea what actually inspired that particular moment. But what happened was, Kyle went to the event. A bunch of them staged a walkout. They shouted him down. He took questions bravely. He stared down the crowd. That's what he's good at. For at least 30, 45 minutes, he said, this is going to be the last question. He answered the last question, and then he left. And then what he did is he went to a private room with a bunch of our Turning Point USA students and staff, and hung out with them for 2 hours and answered all of their questions, took pictures with them, and then he left peacefully. So I don't even know what was going on outside. I don't know what they were running around doing. But a total, total breach of trust, of order, of civilized gathering in peaceful assembly by the University of Memphis. They should be ashamed of themselves. They should be investigated. Did they leak this information to protesters intentionally to sabotage this event? Completely unprecedented in the history of Turning Point USA campus events and organizing. And a total disgrace to the state of Tennessee. Whatever's going on in Memphis is completely out of control. And frankly, it needs to stop. They pandered to petulant children who intentionally sabotaged an event, a legal event with somebody who'd been acquitted by a jury of his peers, who did not shoot black people, who shot a pedophile and an abuser, and he was acquitted. He's a free man. He gets to tell his story of what happened to him. And instead, anarchy ensues. Why? Because of the same failed left-wing pandering BS that so many big cities are suffering under today. What kind of civilization do you want? Do you want clean streets and safety and rule of law? Or do you want chaos? Do you want to pander to the petulant anarchists that want to ruin our cities?
After a long day, no one wants to spend an hour in the kitchen making dinner. Well, how about quick and easy barbecue? No, not takeout. I'm talking juicy steaks, succulent chicken or fish, and healthy grilled veggies cooked on your own Solaire infrared gas grill. Solaire grills are the hot, fast grills that heat up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. And that heat locks in juices and flavors and grills your food faster. A veteran-owned, multi-generational family business, each Solaire grill is made in America out of quality commercial-grade stainless steel. It may be the last grill you'll ever need to buy. It's an incredible product. Visit besthotgrill.com. That is besthotgrill.com for their free guide on how to choose the right infrared grill for apartment balconies to backyard entertainment areas. That is besthotgrill.com. With a hot, fast Solaire infrared gas grill, you'll want to grill every day. Get your free guide at besthotgrill.com. That is besthotgrill.com.
Charlie Kirk is on the line. Charlie, welcome to your show.
It's good to keep doing this. You know, I was listening to the open. You did terrific. And heading to UNLV today, the home state of your home state of Nevada.
That's right.
And that's going to be, I think it's going to be mostly peaceful. I don't know if it'll be like Memphis with Kyle Rittenhouse, but UNLV, it's a very liberal place, and Nevada's the place we need to be. So thanks for filling in. I'm about to hit the campus soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Charlie, you have not really chimed in too much about this. You had some tweets about it. What is your initial reaction to what you saw take place last night with Kyle Rittenhouse at University of Memphis?
Yeah, my take's a little different, not different, but just I'm used to this. I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years. I've seen this sort of behavior so often that this doesn't shock me or surprise me. I mean, we haven't seen this for a little while at Turning Point USA. We haven't seen this kind of where they hunt you down in the streets and they blockade staffers from leaving and they dox the personal information of individual students. But we have experienced very similar instances like this. Remember last year at University of California, Davis, where I went and spoke there and four people were arrested and they had hundreds of protesters and they were breaking windows and they were trying to get into the event center. And so this is chilling stuff. And the deeper question is, did the university collude with these activists? Because the university has to be neutral. The university is not allowed to favor one activist group over the other. The university is not allowed to give preferential or special treatment to one group or the other. And they might have opened themselves up to a huge lawsuit and how they handled stuff. But even beyond that, it goes to show like, wait, what is the big issue you have with Kyle Rittenhouse exactly? And, you know, they said, oh, it's BLM protesting it. It said, well, Kyle Rittenhouse defended himself against people that were trying to harm him. And he went through a very public, very intense trial and was acquitted on all accounts. And so it's really remarkable how they pick their targets and why they pick them. And look, Memphis is the I don't know if you covered this. I might have missed this. Memphis is a very dangerous city. It is one of the more murderous cities in the country. It is one of the least safe cities in the country. And it's remarkable to me that in Memphis, what gets the students fired up? Is it, you know, the kids that are getting shot on their way to work? Is it the terrible gang violence? Is it that one poor teacher jogger? Do you remember that story a year and a half, 2 years ago, where that teacher was jogging really early in the morning and she was hunted down? Did that receive this sort of condemnation and these sort of protests? No, almost assuredly not. Instead, it's a guest speaker on a college campus that, you know, gets the entire campus to get basically put into a war zone. You know, a lot of people are texting me. They said, wow, you know, thank you so much for hosting Kyle and for the courage to do this. And Andrew, you could tell, you know, it's like we never even wavered a second. We never even thought twice about it. It's like, yeah, our students wanted to host him. We have our students back 100%. Kyle's a decent and a good person. And, you know, he's here to tell his story and here's to speak out and look at the response he received. And so, not to mention, you know, the more cruel chants that these activists were hurling towards our students and Kyle yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, people don't realize that. Our local chapters are these brave students. They were the ones that wanted to host Kyle. And he's actually spoken at a couple other schools. He's got a couple other ones that are coming up. He, you know, has his book. They were the ones that wanted to host Kyle. It's not like we came from on top and said, hey, you guys need to start, you know, booking Kyle at these schools. No, they request it because Kyle's story, I think, resonates on a really profound level with a lot of students across the country. And that's a guy that stood up, defended himself and was acquitted and has a really important story to tell. And Charlie, yeah, to your point, there was 398 murders in Memphis last year. Most of it, sadly, is black on black crime. And we don't need to make it about that. But the fact of the matter is there's a huge element of this story where they want to paint Kyle as a white supremacist, as somebody. He shot three white people. And to your point, Memphis is in self-defense that we're trying to harm him. One pulled a gun on him. And actually, he showed incredible discipline when so many people, if you look back at the video of Kyle, would have, shot off a barrage of bullets. Kyle, you know, it was like three or four shots, bang, 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 and he ran away, went straight to the police. All right. So, but beyond that, to your point, 398 murders. They broke a record in Memphis last year. And so, there's bigger problems in Memphis than a guest speaker at a college that would have been completely, completely safe and normal and orderly had the university not jettisoned our ticketing system the day of the event. And instead, somehow these protesters were tipped off and they were allowed to scoop up large chunks of these tickets and then turned it into a chaotic scene, staging walkouts, shouting down Kyle. Kyle did a tremendous job, I thought, acquitting himself brilliantly in the face of that. And then he spent 2 hours with our students afterwards, just taking private questions, trying to have a constructive dialogue and exchange with them. And they had a bunch of questions for him. They booked him. And, you know, to your point, Charlie, there does need to be an investigation of what happened last night in Memphis. Tennessee is a great state. We love the state of Tennessee. Memphis is an outlier if there ever was one. I don't know if you have friends that you can call to get this looked into, but I certainly believe it needs to be looked into because whatever happened, it was complete sabotage.
It is, and we very well might file a lawsuit, and we might file a lawsuit just on technical grounds because, again, the way that campus speech is supposed to be administered is from viewpoint neutrality. The taxpayer-funded universities, especially state universities, they are not allowed to say, well, you know, we really don't like Kyle Rittenhouse, we don't like Turning Point. We're going to go help BLM to compromise the ticketing system and give them a leg up. It's not legal. You can't do that. It's interesting. I think the university thought they could get away with it, but more importantly, they are terrified of these students. They're terrified of the activists on campus. And we see this so often when I dialogue with, you know, privately with board of regent members or board of supervisor members, and I ask them, I say, hey, you know, why don't you just stand up to these couple dozen, maybe 100 students out of 20,000 on campus? They say, oh, you know, well, they're very, very powerful. Like, no, actually, no, they're not. You make them powerful. These are very weak and loud people that you make powerful through the power that you give them. Instead, you should be like, no, actually, here's your designated place to protest. You don't get any sort of special treatment. Go away. And that's it. And I want to reiterate the point. Memphis is a war zone. Memphis is not a super populated city. It's a mid-major city. And they had 300 some plus murders last year. I mean, that is extraordinary. And almost 400. So what is actually almost 400 murders. And the big concern is that an American citizen patriot who is a decent person comes to speak and field questions on campus. And it's important to note, Kyle Rittenhouse is the one that got away. They wanted to make a show trial out of Kyle Rittenhouse.
That's right.
They wanted to turn him into teenage Derek Chauvin, is what they wanted to do. They wanted to try to send a message that if you dare try to defend yourself or try to protect your community against lawlessness or anarchy or disorder, we're going to throw you in prison and we're going to racialize it even when it doesn't exist. Because again, everyone who Kyle interacted with that evening was white. And Kyle Rittenhouse got away, and Kyle Rittenhouse made them all look bad. But the Moscow style show trial that they've done against many other people in these instances, where they say, look at this racist person, 50 years in prison. Look at this racist person, 30 years in prison. And it's too toxic and no one talks about it. They tried to do that to Kyle Rittenhouse. And now Kyle Rittenhouse is doing a speaking tour where he's talking about how the mob justice system tried to throw him in jail and how he was not given a fair hearing in the press. And thankfully, we still had this little pocket of decency and normalcy and civility where he was able to get a fair trial in Wisconsin. And so, you know, we deal with this every day at Turning Point USA. And that's the other point I want to make, is that every single day our Turning Point students are experiencing the backlash, the smearing, the slander, the doxing. And that should give all of you inspiration and hope. You know, people ask all the time, they say, Charlie, you know, what can I do to get involved? Well, try to do something as important as our Turning Point students, who every single day are putting online. Imagine having our Turning Point USA chapter leader at Memphis had his personal apartment information put public so that anyone could go there and either harass him or do violent harm to him. All of it just made public immediately. And that's the playbook that they operate from, which is full out warfare. They want physical harm to happen to our students. And thankfully, we have the toughest kids in the conservative movement who do not back down. Instead, they double down.
Well, and our ranks are growing, Charlie. I mean, you know, you talk about this sometimes, but you're going to be at UNLV. I would suspect that UNLV is going to be a lot like San Diego State and Cal State Fullerton and Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, where the vast majority, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people show up to these tabling events. The vast majority of them are going to be supportive of Turning Point USA and of you. You know, you've got these clowns on social media like Filipkowski or whatever that say, you know, that these campuses hate Turning Point or whatever. No, it's the exact opposite. There is an army, in a peaceful sense, of inspired young people that are calling BS on the regime and all of this woke nonsense that they've been force-fed since an early age. And they're fighting back, and it's voices like Turning Point USA on campus that are giving them a home, that are giving them a voice to share with, to fight alongside. And it's been incredible watching your tour and these tabling events and how many hundreds and hundreds of supporters are coming out. Charlie, what's that like on your side from when you started to where we are now?
Yeah, significant. I mean, today we're expecting major crowds at UNLV. And typically we used to do these outdoor campus events. You know, we'd get maybe a couple dozen people, 30 or 40 people, some passerby. Now there's hundreds of kids, and they wait like 2 hours just for us to come on campus, and they stay there for another couple hours and uninterrupted. And today I think we're going to get more protesters because UNLV is pretty left wing and pretty liberal, but that's fine. That's part of the American spirit. And, you know, we kind of enjoy it. Like, come up to us, tell us why your ideas are right. And it is so challenging to the liberals because they've never had anyone or a group of people so confident, or, and I don't mean confident in a cocky way, but just kind of just comfortable in their ideas, that they invite discourse straight up to the microphone. You can ask any question you want. I sit there for 2 to 2.5 hours without my phone, without any notes, basically just drawing from memory and from experience. They can have whatever notes they want, and I never ridicule them if they have a book or if they have a phone. It's fine. You know, I do this professionally. They don't. They could bring a group of people, you know, and they can film it. They could put it on the internet. Oh my goodness, look at us. We made Charlie Kirk look so bad. Go ahead. Like, whatever you want to do, but this is what's going to save the country, which is open air, unscripted, real time debates and dialogue about the most consequential ideas that are facing our country. It's not going to be just like, oh, we're going to put you in jail or restrict your speech because I think you're a racist. And, you know, for anyone, by the way, you know, one of the kids last night, you know, said, oh, Charlie Kirk's a racist to Kyle Rittenhouse. I was like, okay, come and find me and tell that to my face. Would you? Do you have the courage to do that? Like, and let me respond. Let me go through every single thing that you think I said and say it verbatim.
Right.
But a lot of them won't, Andrew, because for obvious reasons.
Charlie, I want to fixate on one piece of this, because you've probably interacted with more college administrators than just about anybody else in the country. And there's a good way to do this, and there's a bad way to do this. My read on this is that the University of Memphis essentially empowered petulant children. And you know, you look at the larger problems within Memphis and the crime and how murderous it is. It really is local leadership. You see it manifest at the school level. They are the source of their own problems. They could have dealt with this in a very orderly way, and instead, they were the ones that empowered what happened, the chaos that ensued. What is your read on that? Are all universities are not equal? Am I right? I mean, there is a big range that you experience.
There's a sliver that operate like this, as if they want the riot, they want the commotion. University of California, Davis is a great example of that. Remember last year, we were the ones that hosted Riley Gaines at University of San Francisco, or it was San Francisco something, where she got held hostage and she was hunted down in the hallway. Yeah, San Francisco State. And she was hunted down in the hallway and effectively held hostage, had to miss her flight. And by the way, the university came out and said, oh, those students did nothing wrong. It's perfectly fine to congregate outside of a private room where someone is and preventing them from going. And so there is a sliver of these university campuses where the leadership, there's only two explanations. One is that they're terrified of these students, which is probably true. And number two is that they're probably also sympathetic to their cause. And so, you know, they're terrified of standing up against them, and there will be no, you know, backlash. Now in Tennessee, it's a different situation, which is, I believe University of Memphis is a public university. You can correct me. I believe it is. And if that's the case, then yeah, Governor Bill Lee and the entire, you know, legislature, they should hold hearings on this, on was this technically administered the right way? Because this is a bad look for the state of Tennessee. And for those of you that haven't seen the videos, they're literally hunting down students in the streets, hunting down, you know, supporters in the streets. This could have gotten very violent. This could have resulted in hospitalizations and in, you know, permanent damage. We've seen that happen before. And the great irony, and it's a terrible, tragic irony, is they're protesting Kyle Rittenhouse, but they were recreating some of the bedlam that Kyle Rittenhouse was trying to stand up against in his hometown. And, you know, thankfully, no one got hurt. The police did their best job to try to normalize this, but you must understand the police are kind of guests on these campuses. They always have to kind of follow orders from the campus administration unless they see an act of crime taking place, and they're very hesitant to intervene. And so, you know, this is just another example of some of the administration that acts like this. And I want to be very clear and fair. You know, some university campuses, they do stand up to the activist class. They give them their First Amendment rights as they are due, but they don't pander to them. They don't give them inside access to ticketing. They don't give them a cheat code to be able to disrupt our presence on campus. And so it is still a tragedy that there are university faculty and administration, people in leadership that pander more to a petulant minority than to the reasonable majority on these campuses.
Yeah, 100%. And you're actually, we haven't mentioned University of New Mexico, which you personally went out of your way to speak outside of any tour at that campus, because they had previously succeeded in getting an event. And by the way, these are outside agitators. A lot of these at University of New Mexico specifically, they were not students. They were sort of like Antifa groups or whatever. Same at UC Davis, but they had locked up Tommy Lahren in a room, and she had to be sort of rescued out of a being barricaded in a room as well. You went back and sort of looked the mob in the eye, and we had a successful event. But that would be another example that I'm thinking of. Charlie, let's go ahead and play cut 98. This is these are activists stomping, spitting on cars, hitting cars as people were trying to leave the parking garage last night. 98. It doesn't look to be like there's sound on this clip, I think, because there was some swearing going on. But yeah, this is just a car pulling out of a parking garage, and meanwhile these people are hitting the car and spitting on people. Real classy folks. And there's Julio Rosas right there, Rojas, that is working with Turning Point Frontlines, doing a fantastic job. So these are the people we face, folks, right here. These are the people that we're enabling. Charlie, last thoughts here as we go. Got 30 seconds.
Yep. I got to head on campus, UNLV, and pray for our safety and hope it's a good one. Thanks, Andrew, for filling in. And this is why we do what we do. Talk to you guys soon.
Absolutely. Good work, Charlie. And Godspeed today. Stay safe. get some great content. And folks, when we record these videos, millions of people see them, minds are changed. It's having a real impact. Thanks so much for listening. If you love this show, if you get something out of it, if this is a place of refuge in a sea of chaos, please consider joining us as a paying monthly subscriber at members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. You guys are the backbone of this show and this community. Thank you for being a part of it. And if you haven't joined yet, please consider doing so. Members.charliekirk.com. We'll talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.